Hey, this is Malcolm Brogdon, and this is the Sideline Guys Podcast.
We are getting closer to the start of Pacers basketball, of NBA play, the restart in the bubble out in Orlando. We welcome you in to another Sideline Guys Wednesday. Alongside Jeremiah Johnson, I'm Pat Wood, and we're joined this week by Justin Holliday, who joins us from the bubble. So let's start there, Justin. It's been a couple of weeks. What have been your major takeaways from being down there in Orlando and taking in a couple of practices and also going through the quarantine?
I mean, one thing that I've experienced is playing overseas and playing in the D League. So in this situation, especially for packing, for coming to somewhere for more than a month, I pretty much just approached it like I was going overseas. So I'm pretty prepared as far as everything I need to be able to survive here for a little while. The quarantine for a couple of days was very different for me because, you know, I've been around my family and been with my daughters every day, you know, waking up early, dealing with and taking care of them. I don't want to say dealing with them in a negative way, but taking care of my daughters. And so to have 2 days of doing nothing, it was very, very weird because I'm used to, you know, getting up and, you know, playing with my daughter, reading different things. So to do nothing was – it allowed me to rest a little bit, but it was just very, very weird because I've always just been on the go. And then as far as, you know, playing basketball and practicing and stuff like that, that's all, you know, it's not at the practice facility that we're used to, but the only difficult part with that is just the different times you're practicing in the day. Your body doesn't really get used to the change of times, but at the same time, you know, we're here to try to adjust and be as flexible as possible to, you know, be able to prepare ourselves and get ourselves ready for basketball.
You have detailed your decision in the back and forth in that letter in the Players Tribune, and I know you've been asked about it plenty since. So I am wondering, though, how has it been keeping in touch with your family back home? I assume Zoom calls like this are fairly common for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Zoom calls or FaceTiming is what we would do, but it's difficult. Again, I was there. I have two daughters now, so I was there dealing with my two-year-old most of the time with my wife, you know, would take care of my almost 4 months old now daughter. And so, you know, we would kind of be able to split that and take, you know, the weight from one another at times when one's sleeping, the other one's asleep, but me not being there makes that very, very difficult for her. And it's actually very difficult on my two-year-old. She actually, you know, calls crying and stuff because I'm not there. So dealing with that, just trying to, you know, cheer my daughter up as much as I can through a FaceTime call and, you know, encourage my wife, you know, during this tough time. We do have, you know, help, you know, family members are there to help and stuff, but it's still just not the same. So it's just trying to keep myself as positive as possible and continuing to communicate with my daughter and my wife and just see them as much as I can and, you know, let them know how much I love them, even though I'm so far away.
Justin, I talked with Jeremy Lamb yesterday about what he was going through during the early stages of the pandemic, and he was able to go to St. Vincent Center and work out and maintain some sense of normalcy. You were obviously distracted in a good way because of, you know, the birth of your child. What was that like, having a child when everything was so uncertain around you and you probably had to feel a little bit uncomfortable being in hospitals and everything that goes into the early stages of life?
Well, to be honest with you, and I don't know if my wife's going to be upset about me talking about this, not because we are very, very private, but we didn't go to hospitals. My wife had my daughter on our bedroom floor. So I actually was able to skip all of that anxiety and worry you would have with the hospitals and one person being able to go in and having other situations with just having a natural birth at home, doing it naturally and being blessed. My wife being blessed enough to, you know, have my daughter naturally and both of them be healthy and everything go well. So that's actually what we were able to do. And I was thankful we were able to do it that way. And also I was able to be there, you know, for my daughter's birth, but more importantly, be there for 3 months after every day. I didn't get that with my first daughter. So I actually was able to enjoy that in that situation and having our daughter. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise. I mean, again, unfortunately with the pandemic being the reason I was able to, but to see the good in it, I was able to be home and experience every part from the baby, you know, from preparing. I'm not the one having a kid, but from preparing to have a child, learning how I can support my wife, you know, the best way possible. And just watching my wife just be, just a superstar, man, of seeing her have the baby completely natural at the house and almost having it before our midwife got there to where I was going to do it. Like, just seeing something like that, man, a miracle, and how strong women are is just amazing. And again, I was able to see it firsthand. There's no question or no doubt about what a woman is capable of doing, and I got to experience that.
Absolutely. We salute women and what they do in that difficult, challenging process. We will get to some basketball questions, but you have so many other things that I think I want to hear about, and I think people need to listen. And your Players Tribune article spoke about the decision to come back, and you wanted to use your platform to help continue to create positive change. It's early in the stages in Orlando. I know you have some things maybe planned once the games begin, but how do you feel about your decision, and what are kind of the things you're thinking about that you can share right now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel that I made the right decision. It was hard to do, but again, having this platform and also even sometimes playing basketball helps bring positivity. But again, the one thing I wanted to make sure happened wasn't that everything that is going on outside of the game of basketball, that is just a game, isn't forgotten, isn't brushed over, isn't pushed over. And is, you know, as far as anyone that listens to me speak, you will know that. The things I'm trying to do are situations like this right now, having conversations with anyone and everyone that would like to ask and communicate about the things that have been going on, and seeing how we as Black people feel, which I'm sure is very obvious how we feel, but to hear us more, more of depth, not just hearing about the anger and the hurt and the pain, but the things we want to do to try to make a change. And there's a lot of things that go into trying to help change. And the thing is, it's not so easy. It's not going to just happen overnight, but obviously voting is very, very important. I want to encourage everyone to get registered, first of all, to vote, that are old enough to do so. And then on top of that is actually educate yourself on the people that are running, the things that are supposed to be voted for, not just to go and vote because someone, your friend says, I'm voting for this person, so I'm going to go with. And it doesn't matter what party it is, whoever you feel is best, you know, to be in office, whatever laws you feel are best to be put in place, you vote for those, but you need to educate yourself. Each vote is for you individually and no one else at all. So just because your mom wants to vote for such and such doesn't mean you have to, and you shouldn't feel pressured or feel, you know, wrong for doing so. And again, that's regardless for who you vote for. A situation I spoke with our organization, and I don't know if Malcolm did as well or not, because I don't really know everybody's business, but I heard Malcolm spoke to him as well about it, but is trying to get Bankers Life as a place to open up for voting, because they are taking down voting locations or the numbers of the amount of voting stations that can be in certain places. And at the end of the day, that's a fact. And so we can do anything to help that if it's possible. You know, some I brought up and have been speaking with our organization about, and they are looking into, and I'm not sure quite where we are with it. I think it might be happening. I'm not completely sure, but that's one thing. There's other things I want to do personally, and some things I will be doing personally, but I actually have to make sure everything's together. I want to, one, raise money for certain organizations in the United States. I have some in mind. I haven't figured out if I just want to, you know, be in Indiana, if I want to do something that's more nationwide, but I will be doing things to raise money in that sense. I will be doing things at the same time as raising the money. Sorry, I can't tell you too much yet. At the same time as raising the money, also bringing awareness. And having a situation to where you are going to have to see uncomfortable things. But, you know, it's this whole situation is going to be uncomfortable, period. But see uncomfortable things to be able to understand again and see where we're at. Because one thing, like I said in my letter, I will not do is, you know, just kind of just brush this off as, you know, this happens all the time. Or, you know, this is what we're used to seeing. Or just because I grew up, you know, being Black and having to deal with certain things in my life, that it makes it okay, and it's not. And we do deserve to be treated equally like everyone else. So that's what I'm going to continue to do, continue to speak about. When I get interviewed, I will be talking something about something that's going on. And one, to, again, allow people to see and hear somebody like me speak about it. I know a lot of people like to say, you know, we need to shut up and dribble, but in this world, we're humans first. I'm a man first. I'm a black man first. Before I play this game of basketball, and I know me playing basketball entertains certain people. It allows people to see me in a different light. But I feel like everyone should be seen in the same light as you see me, regardless if I'm a basketball player or not, or some guys are household names. You should give everybody that chance and that ability to be, seen as a person. And I don't necessarily know if they see me completely as a person. And that's the other thing I kind of go back and forth with myself is like, you know, yeah, they accept the things I say or want to hear what I have to say because I play basketball. And 100%, I believe this platform allows that. But are they only okay with that because I play basketball? At the same time, I'm not going to question it too much to where it takes me away from using it. But this, I also want to make sure that people are, you know, treating me the way they treat me because of who I am and not just because of basketball. And it's hard to get to that point with people because they see you as a basketball player. But I think in these situations, in these interviews, they're going to see me a little differently than somebody that puts the ball in the hoop.
Justin, we're only a few minutes into this podcast, but I think it's very clear the love you have for your family, how passionate you are about the racial equality movement. And I know Jeremiah and I have been inspired by reading what you've written and hearing what you've said. We're also in the middle of a pandemic. You're trying to gear up mentally and physically for what it takes to be an elite basketball player and play in the NBA. Is any of this overwhelming at all? And how do you compartmentalize and stay strong in all of those areas that so many people need you to be strong in?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, initially, it kind of came off to me as something that can be very overwhelming. But one thing myself and my family decided to do, and I want to make sure this is taken the right way and not, I mean, I guess somebody else will take it the wrong way because this is how this happens. But one thing we don't do is live in fear. So we will do things appropriate to keep ourselves safe, healthy. And these things we have been doing way before the pandemic happened. As far as how we eat, vitamins and how we, you know, getting our rest and things like that. Because all that stuff does matter as far as any keeping your body to be able to fight any virus away with your immune system. So those are things that we put into place way before this happened to where even with other things in the past of, you know, for example, and I'm not here to talk about myself and, you know, how I'm so healthy and things like that. But for example, going to when we went to India, they have a lot of, you're supposed to take a lot of vaccines and pills and things to prepare yourself to go over there. Well, to be honest with you, I didn't take any at all. I just made sure I had my immune system where it needed to be, as strong as it could be to go. And I went and came back and I was fine. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, everyone can do that because everyone does not have the same immune system as me. Everybody does not have the same resources as me. And everybody, some people are, you know, are situations to where they are at higher risk to get certain things. So I say it to say to prepare yourself as the best way you can and taking precautions to be healthy. And again, what you put into your body matters. It matters a lot more than you think. And as well as that, just still trying to enjoy your life because, you know, this is the only life we do have to live. And the only thing that is just tough is there's so much fear going around and people are afraid of a lot, which they have reason to. Now, don't get me wrong. I just try to focus on not allowing the fear to control me and to put me in a depressive state to where my immune system can be compromised. And I mean, because all of that's in line. I mean, we don't have enough time to talk about all of that, but how you know, allowing your having fear, stress really, really takes a toll on your immune system. Obviously, working out, doing different things that way takes a toll. So how you are mentally matters. It's just like the basketball. The better players are the guys that are positive going into things, able to take negative situations out, not allowing fear and certain things to run them. And that's just what I try to do. I'm not saying everyone needs to do it this way, but so in the situation, I am not overwhelmed right now. The thing that actually overwhelms me more than anything is not being with my family in the time when the world just seems so crazy. But as far as all that goes, I just try to, you know, live as healthy as I can to really focus on taking care of myself, taking the precautions to keep myself safe and just trying to live in fear because I've done things in the past through fear and have never actually been happy with not necessarily the outcome, but just how I feel as a person. So I'm just trying to enjoy my life the best way I can and go with that.
The decision for every player in the NBA, whether or not to go down and into the bubble, was a challenging one for everybody I know. Your decision, we've talked about it a little bit here. It's been well chronicled by you and by others asking you questions. Was as difficult as probably just about anybody in the league. So I'm wondering if your decision to go, if you felt it have any impact on your teammates from a chemistry perspective, from a buy-in perspective, to know that everything that is going on in your life right now, you still showed a lot of dedication to them and to trying to achieve a goal of closing out this season as strong as you guys can.
Yeah, I mean, I never really thought about if they felt that way. The one thing I do know about how they felt is they supported me regardless of what I did, which was encouraging, helpful for me. But I never thought about if me coming back, you know, they're thinking, you know, he's shown us that he bought in. I do know from my side that, you know, like I said in the interview a little after that, you know, I made a commitment to my team. And, you know, that's one thing that's I've always tried to finish out things that I start. Again, doesn't mean that I couldn't have gone the other way in my decision, but that's something that did weigh a lot on me. If you know anything about me and playing, I've rarely missed a game. I've never missed a game, I think, for being injured in the NBA. Only time I've missed is decisions being traded or situations that, you know, situations like that. So if I'm able to play, I can play. And I've done that because of something that's important to me. So, yeah, from my side, it's something I did think about. But I don't know. I haven't talked to them about it or asked them. Maybe they do feel that way. Maybe not. I do know that we all are excited to be together and be competing with one another and, you know, just being a team again.
Well, I know we were all excited when we found out you were going to play because of what you mean, your intangibles, what you bring on the court as well. I'm curious, though, normal off seasons, you probably work out and sometimes with your brothers during the summers, but you didn't have a lot of opportunity to play basketball. So was it difficult getting up to speed first, maybe with those individual workouts, and now that you've been in Orlando with about a week of practices and 5-on-5, did it take a little extra time? And then maybe where are you in terms of your physical conditioning right now?
To be honest with you, no, I never got a condition because I don't know. To be honest with you, I've never been out of shape in my whole life. So I know how to work out and keep myself in condition and keep myself, my mind fresh on the things I am doing. During the quarantine time, one thing I always do is I always lift. But instead of playing basketball, which I know it's not ramped down the court, I actually box. So I boxed a lot with my brother-in-law at my house. So we would lift 3 days a week and box 2 to 3 days a week. And if anybody's ever done boxing workouts, you know how hard it is conditioning-wise as far as your breath, your breathing, and cardiovascular and things like that. So that's kind of what I did to keep myself in shape. Now, it's different than when you get back on the court and run up and down, but I would actually – so what I would do is before I would box, I would go run, come straight home from running, and box right away. So I would keep all that, you know, being tired from running, going to boxing, to where I was working myself differently than I usually would with basketball. So when I got back to basketball, I literally took probably a couple workouts on the court, and I felt like I was, you know, my body got used to moving around that way again, and I felt like I was fine. Now, it was different than when we actually got going up and down, but once we went to go play up and down, like the first time – I ended up playing again. I was fine. So I think I'm in shape. I think I'm good. I can play a game right now, 100%. I think that was the whole point for everybody to be able to get to that point. Obviously having these practices, but I try to do the best I can to try to keep myself in shape because I just like to be in shape as a person, period.
There are some injuries that on the Pacers roster, Nate Mullen has talked about using different guys in different positions. You've probably been interchangeable as far as, you know, where you're at, who you're guarding, what position you're playing, and maybe moving forward where you might be in terms of playing on the court in the games.
Yeah, I mean, I've played many positions through this year. I have, so, you know, it won't be anything different. Wherever they need me to go, I'm a you know, get in and help the team. That's the thing. My main thing is just to be able to help the team and keep, you know, make sure we keep our, you know, continuity, fluidity, offensively, defensively, communication, things like that. So I'll do the same thing I always do regardless of what position it is.
How much time have you had outside of practice and all of, you know, the different personal aspects of your life to get out of your room? Have you had a chance to do things like go golfing or some of the other things the NBA has set up?
right before this. Like, actually, while I was interviewing with y'all, we were, but it's raining a little bit, so it didn't happen. This was the first day I was going to go golfing because Aaron likes to do it. But, I mean, you know, I've been outside of the hotel, you know, walked around. Me and Aaron were supposed to go on the boat, but we didn't. But, yeah, you know, there's a little restaurant we have here that we can eat. And I've gone there a couple of times, just walked around. I've sat outside a little bit. So, I've done it every now and then. I'm a homebody, so I am very comfortable in being in my own space by myself. I have my guitar, so I've been trying to do that a little more. Read books a little more, actually, which I don't do much at home. But, yeah, I mean, I've gotten out a little bit. You have so much time in the day after you practice and stuff that, you know, you can just kind of hang out and go around. Now, if we, you know, eventually, I guess, we're going to have to do more things like going to golf, or now I think bowling's open and different stuff like that, that kind of add different creative things to do. But for right now, like I said, I'm pretty much good because I wasn't able to even just chill at home before I came here. And the thing is, I actually miss all the, you know, being with my daughter home instead of just relaxing here.
Did you have expectations for what bubble life might be like before you came down, and what are they now that you've seen them and what the NBA has put together?
Yeah, I mean, I actually, the expectations I had on it was pretty much being like when I first would fly and go to the place and play overseas. And usually when that happened, I was there alone. Depending on the time I came. Now, there were times where I came in the middle of the season where I had to get right to practice, but usually when you first get there, there's a lot of things you have to go and take care of before you can even play. So that's kind of like, not saying it's the same as sitting in a room, but when I was overseas, I used to just be in an apartment for, depending on the place I was playing, for who knows how many days. I was just doing different things inside. So that's kind of what my expectations were. And when I got here, I mean, it's different because I have a whole bunch of mates. We're still in America, and, you know, the food, things like that. But there's a lot of similarities in the sense of just doing a lot of stuff by yourself at first. And then it kind of brings in the aspect of, like, being at, like, a camp, like when you used to go to a basketball camp or something and stay over, to where, like, everybody playing is in the same spot. And, you know, going to the gyms, like, kind of like AAU. I actually played AAU Nationals here in Florida, in Orlando, at Disney World when I was younger. So it's kind of similar to that as well. So, yeah, I mean, things are different because it's the NBA. We have a barbershop sitting right here outside, you know, with ice and stuff. There's a lot of stuff that we have different, but there's a lot of similarities to some things I've experienced in the past.
TJ McConnell told us earlier this week that you're not allowed to fraternize with other players or other teams maybe until the scrimmages start. But I'm guessing you've had a chance to at least talk and hang out with Drew. And then when games start, are you going to be able to go watch the Pelicans or maybe other teams around the league, or do you know yet?
So watching other teams play, I heard we might be able to go do that. Again, asking me, is that the best person? I'll just chill until you let me know or if I want to do it. So I'll ask that question maybe later if it's possible. But if so, yeah, I'll go watch them play. And we only saw Drew one time. We both had practice at the same time. That's the only time we saw him from the picture that's been going around. So, yeah, we haven't seen him literally this whole time, but that one time.
For the Pacers to have success in the playoffs, obviously the seeding games are important. They're more important than an exhibition, but in a way they're to get you ready for the playoffs. What does this team need to do to be successful? And are you seeing some signs of the chemistry that you had in March picking up where it left off in some of these practices?
Yeah, I mean, the things we need to do, obviously, we can be healthy first and foremost, and just have, you know, the whole team as much as we can. That helps. We've also shown, even if we're not healthy, we still have a very, very good chance. But, you know, being healthy gives you the best opportunity. And our chemistry has actually been very, very good. I don't want to say surprisingly, it's just you just don't know what you're going to get when you get back together. And in the practices we've had really good practices. Actually, to be honest with you, I don't feel like we've had a bad practice since we've been here. And I'm the type that would tell you if we had a bad practice. I think we've all been getting after it. We've all actually looked very, very good in shape. And again, it took only, you know, this week's of practice, I feel like we've been clicking very, very well. And he was mixing up the teams a little bit at the beginning, and now we're back to, you know, the, you know, blue versus white, first team, second team, and, you know, the teams have been looking good. Guys are serious, especially defensively, trying to make sure we're on the right spots, keeping guys accountable. So it's actually been going very well, and we've been clicking pretty well. So hopefully we can just, you know, roll it over to the games and get going.
What has been your perspective of Victor Oladipo? He seems to be physically in a much better spot than he was a few weeks ago. Getting to watch him in practice, where do you think he is and how impactful might he be if he is able to play for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done a great job of taking care of himself and improving his body in the sense of becoming more healthy. I think that time off, was putting in a lot of work because he, in my opinion, looks more explosive than he did. He looks more sure, actually, to be honest with you, mentally, than he did before. And that's still coming back from an injury. He's being very, very, very aggressive, which we need him to be, and that's who he is as a player. So that's been good to see as well because, you know, when he came back to play before, which he did correctly, he took his time in coming into the games, you know, making sure that he was good, but as well as, you know, fitting in well with the team. And now he's back to being completely aggressive, you know, playing through contact, you know, because, we're playing for real. So he's getting hit, fouled, he's playing through contact, moving strong, moving quick, and it's actually very, very encouraging and great to see just for him personally as a player.
From a physical perspective, this has been a quick time to ramp back up into play. You've got a few scrimmages coming up. How would you evaluate where you and the team are physically compared to where you'd ideally like to be, and how key are these scrimmages you've got in the next few days?
That's a good question because, to be honest, I feel like we're right back into, like, so my body feels a certain way when I'm playing basketball when I'm not. And I feel like I'm right back to, like, how my body was feeling and going through the season when we stopped. But to say where we would be compared to that is kind of tough because you remember it, but I personally don't remember it to the T, to where it's like, dang, you know, we just need a little more of this, a little more of that. I think playing the games will kind of show us where we are and as far as, you know, our because I mean, we're in shape, but as far as where we are compared to at the end of the season. And, you know, I think the games will be good, especially having the scrimmages before to play to kind of gauge ourselves to see where we are, see what we need to work on. But I think we're in very, very good shape, man. We've been getting up and down. We've been running, moving the ball, and playing fast, playing poised. So I think we're going to be, you know, just fine.
Final question here, Justin. This podcast tends to get some of our most diehard fans. I'm wondering if you have a message to those who have, you know, supported you and the team and have desperately been waiting to see you guys back on the floor for 4+ months here.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I just want to thank you guys. Again, you know, none of this would be possible without you guys. You guys' support throughout the whole season, I always say, especially our home games, has been great for us. The energy you guys bring, making, you know, our home court feel like home has been great. I've played in a lot of places, played in front of a lot of home crowds, and you guys are up there for sure. Is one of the exciting places to play. I spoke about this actually when I first came to Indiana and talked about being on the road playing in Indiana and how I love going there because you guys, you know, support your team so much. And so, you know, being on the other side of that has been great. And, again, we're all thankful. You know, all my teammates are thankful for you guys' support, how diehard you guys have been in supporting us and, you know, even supporting us now when we're so far away and still riding with us. And, you know, again, if I can leave a message for some outside of basketball is, again, man, educate yourself on what's going on. Be willing to try to understand somebody else's story about what they've gone through in life. And be okay with not understanding. I think that's something that's very, very hard for people to do. It's just to be okay with something, one, not being about you or you understanding how it works. Just know that someone else is hurting, is in pain, and has been for a long time. And support from others that look like you and don't look like you are needed. And love from others that look like you and don't look like you are needed. And, you know, just continue. If you haven't been, then please, you know, fight for justice, fight for what is right. I do know that there's been all type of stuff going on all over the country, and just has recently been some stuff that's happened actually in Indiana specifically. And, you know, I just want to encourage everyone to please stand up for what is right. And I don't care what anyone looks like. I don't care what you've been taught growing up. You know what right is and what wrong is. And, you know, the situation that happened when the guy almost got hung in, like, Bloomington is, like, that's unacceptable. That's crazy to me. And for people to think that that is okay hurts, because that could be me. You know, that can be your favorite NBA player. That can be your friend that can be black in a situation of just because of the color of somebody's skin. And also with the justice system and things, you know, and how the tension is with that because of some cruel cops, and a lot of cruel cops have done a lot of messed up things. The thing is, we know there's a lot of good cops, but right now we're in a space of dealing with a lot of bad situations. You know, if I get stopped by a police officer, I'm worried. I understand that that's what goes through our heads. There was a situation actually recently with a couple killings. One was with Mikael Rose. Another, the other kid's name was Sean Reed. And, you know, the situation is, you know, the cops say, you know, what happened or whatever. Okay, and that's fine. The only thing I don't understand with these situations, and I'm not trying to say that I'm against what the cops say or say they're lying, is that there are rules put in place for a certain reason. And why there aren't, why their cameras aren't being used, the dash cams aren't being used in situations like this, when you know you have children and black kids that you are going after that are afraid, if you're doing everything right, why aren't the cameras being used? And why aren't you, why isn't the law and the police department allowing all of the information to come out about what happens? That's the only thing I just do not get, is why we all can't be truthful, why we all can't say what happened. If you're doing your job the right way, put the information out. Again, I'm not saying one side's right and one side isn't, because I don't know exactly what happened. I wasn't there. But I do know two lives are gone, black lives at that. And, you know, that's the situation that I'm going to have to speak about. So, you know, I just want justice for everyone, especially for my black brothers and sisters, man. And even with Breonna Taylor. I mean, I don't want to talk too much about it because I will get emotional. But we need justice for everyone. Everyone should be treated equally. Doesn't matter what your skin looks like. And, you know, like the OG Stack says, you know, I have love for all, that's love for all. So that's all I have for you.
Justin, that was so passionate, so eloquently worded. And JJ and I certainly thank you for your candidness and how personable you are, not just as a basketball player, but in all of these things that are so important in your life. So thank you very much for your perspective here today, and best of luck with everything that surrounds you and your life as we go forward and inch closer to the season.
Yeah, thank you guys, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Justin.
Also, thank you how you treat us and stuff. You know, I know that's something that shouldn't go said, but at this time, that's something that does matter. And I do appreciate the people that, you know, love us just like we love, you know, like I love you guys. So I want to say I appreciate you too as well, you know, for, you know, being kind, you know, good work environment, being positive, and so.
That means a lot. Thank you.
Yep, no problem. You guys have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Justin.